And I'm Gary's brother, and that's where the similarities end. So don't expect a lot of funny stuff, because what I think funny is might not be. Anyway, no, I'm not Gary Bob, and I'm not Tom Blank Jr. either. He gave a great sermon last week. I'm going to try to tie into that a little bit today. But he's a tough act to follow too. So I'm just me, and I hope that I can do thank you. This is my first sermon, by the way. So I'd like to start with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. Thank you for the safety of getting people here. I pray for safety getting them home as well, Lord. I just pray that my words are your words, and that I can reach hearts and minds and the ears of the people here today in a pleasing way and in a way that is meaningful. And I just I lift this up to you, Lord. This is what you've put on my heart. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, missions. I've got a lot to say, and Tom gave me some advice. He told me to talk about my own experience, and so I'm going to do that a little bit, but I've got some other things, and I'm going to try to tie into what he talked about yesterday with God's love and being a shining beacon and a light to the world and a light to the community. And I'm going to do my best to do that with some scripture and some experiences and some just thoughts that have been on my heart for a while. I'm going to start with the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, the very end of Matthew, and the last couple of verses. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, always, to the very end of the age. Okay? And I'd like to add to that a couple more places where they're in Scripture. These are in Acts, where, again, it's a little different version of the... and they're probably familiar to most of you, but a little bit different version of that. Acts 1:8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, or ends of the world. Okay, and also in Acts 13:47, this is speaking of Paul and Barnabas, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay? So we're talking about everywhere, right? Everybody, everywhere. The other thing here I have is, this is from like 1999, our missions, definition of missions. And I felt this was kind of interesting, and I'm going to go off of this a little bit too. Missions at Stutzmanville Chapel shall be defined as any ministry carried on outside the local congregation, not directly under the jurisdiction of Stutzmanville Chapel, the purpose of which is to fulfill the Great Commission by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through evangelism, discipling, church planning, church development, and Bible translation. We recognize the importance of meeting other human needs while carrying out these ministries in accordance with Christ's great command. So that's our mission statement as of 1999. I don't think that's changed a whole lot. There may be a little bit different wording in there, some things, but and that was that's relevant to the time period that I'm going to be talking about today. Actually, that was 91. I have the 99 one also, and there were no changes in that. Okay, so that's our mission statement. I believe there's a little bit more to that, or there's a part of that that I want to focus on, and that's the discipling part of it. We're living examples, or we should be living examples, of Jesus's life. And that's what this season is all about. Yes, it's salvation, number one, and faith, absolutely. But there's also that part of we have to be examples of Jesus' life to the world. And it's very important that we do that, and that is just as important as the faith. I believe the faith probably has to come first, but then taking that faith and telling others about it, but not just telling, but showing. And at this time of year, the end of the year, we're going to be starting a new year, and we're going to be having New Year's resolutions and all of that kind of thing. And I just want to encourage you to follow through throughout the year, not just the Christmas season, not just the Easter season, but throughout the year, wherever you can, wherever you have opportunities. And I believe we have probably almost daily opportunities to spread God's word and God's love to other people. Okay, let me see. I have one more thing, and I think I'll wait for that just a little bit. Okay, Tom Blank also told me he got reprimanded a little bit first time because he was too short last week. So, two things. I was concerned about being too short as well, and I don't think I will be, and Tom willed me his extra time. So if I need a little extra time, you may... No, I won't do that to you. First thing I want to start with, or I feel that I should start with, is my background and my testimony. And some of this may not seem like it ties in, but I'm hoping that when I get into my mission experience, that you'll see how that ties in a little bit. Okay, so I was raised in a very Christian home. My mom and dad were Christians. I forgot to warn you too, I might cry once in a while. I get sentimental, but I'll try not to, okay? I try hard not to, but sometimes. So from the earliest memories I have are things from church. One of the things, we started out going to the Methodist Church in Harbor Springs, First Methodist Church, and when I was, between 3 and 5 years old, I remember attending basketball games at Harbor Springs High School, and one of the star players was Kenny Garver. And I don't remember this as well as I remember my mom telling this story, but one Sunday morning, Kenny Garver walked into First Methodist Church for church services, and I go, Mom, it's Kenny Garver, and he's got pants on. So, you know, this I've had the background. Background began at a very young age, and the love of basketball as well. I remember in grade school, a couple named Ralph and Fanny Stricter, who used to pick us up for vacation Bible school here at Sussmanville. We didn't attend Sussmanville Church, but we came to vacation Bible school here. And they were missionaries in China, or had been, and told us stories when we were riding to church about their missions and about their lives. Sounded pretty exciting to me. Oh, well, I'm a history teacher, by the way. I'm a retired history teacher. So I've always kind of had that bent to me as well. And I was fascinated by their stories. We moved to Stutzmanville when I was in eighth grade. And best move of our lives, I'm sure. So I was in youth group here. I was here when Ed started. Ed was our youth minister when I came here. And throughout high school, I attended church here. But I wasn't a Christian. And not that I was a bad person, but I was worldly. And I sought after worldly things all through high school and on into my early adult life. And up until about 1996, I have one of those things, though. Until 1996, and that's when I first started dating Karen Lahovich, who would become my wife. In 1987, oh, one of the things that happened, I've skipped something here, then it's important. I had two very important events in my life, besides meeting and dating Karen. After I graduated, there was a young man who played softball with us and was good friends with me, was in Jeff's grade, and he was killed in a car accident at age 18. And then a few years later, one of my best friends and fellow basketball players had a heart attack and died on the basketball court. And those two things started me thinking about my life and also about salvation, because I wasn't sure. And so I continued my life and thinking that I enjoyed my life, but I always had that feeling in the back of my head that things weren't right. And I did talk to God. I asked God to show me who to pick. Karen doesn't like this story, but I won't go into the particulars of it, but who I should pick. I had a couple of girls I was dating, which surprised everybody for a while, but that I had one, let alone two. But anyway, there was a situation where Karen was the one, and I knew at that moment that God had chosen Karen to be my wife, and I haven't regretted that for a moment. We were married in 1987, and we began to, I wasn't going to church, but we began to attend Stutz regularly. She's a practicing Catholic, and so we split time between Stutzmanville and here, and it's worked out pretty well for us. And so while here, my mom was on the missions board at that time as well, in the late 80s and early 90s. And at that time, there were 5 to 8 members on the missions board, and it was a pretty big deal here. And there were several missions that, and I'll get it, and that leads me to 1993. Early on in 1993, Ben Monti, and many of you know Ben, he would come up with some wild and crazy ideas, they seemed like, once in a while. He came to me and wanted to know if I wanted to go on a mission trip to El Salvador. Now, El Salvador had been in about a 10-year civil war there that had been very nasty, and they had just signed the peace agreement. And it was a little tentative still. But that intrigued me because it had been in the news, and I'm a history and geography buff, at first, maybe more so that than the spiritual aspect of it, you know, of going and spreading God's love and God's word there. And then he says, what I want to do is put together a basketball team and take a basketball team down there and use the basketball team as an in to society down there, to the people down there, to tell them about Jesus. And he had talked to her. We've been hooked up with Campus Crusade of El Salvador and a man named Adonai Leyva, who ran all of El Salvador's Campus Crusade stuff. And things happened back and forth, and we decided we're going to do this. We went in July of 93. And it was a struggle for me a little bit. I had a son that was a year and a half, and I had a daughter who wasn't here yet, but we were pregnant, and I would have to leave Karen with our children for a couple of weeks, I think it was. So anyway, that was a struggle. There was work was a struggle. I was working at Boyne Highlands, and coming home one night in June, early June, I just had this feeling that things were not right. Something was wrong, and I pulled over to the road, side of the road, and I prayed, and I asked Jesus to take over my life. And I accepted the gift of salvation at that time. So my focus changed a little bit, but I was still pretty new at this. And so anyway, went ahead, and any obstacles that we had, any troubles with passports, things like that, were taken care of, and off we went the beginning of July to El Salvador. This was a long time ago, 93, and I'm getting older, in case nobody knows that. So we go to El Salvador. Everything goes pretty smoothly. We get there. Our luggage comes with us. We brought a few gifts and things like that along, and some supplies to give to them. And everything made it through customs. And we got there, and we got to the place where we were staying. It was an Assembly of God. I don't know what you would call it. It was like a big convention center kind of thing. And had rooms in it that we stayed in. And we played basketball games. They were set up with local high schools. They were set up with local teams. The high schools don't have, like we'd have here with teams, they have club teams. And then there were older people, club teams that we played, and that's the pictures that we're showing up here. This is, for example, this was one of the schools that we played at. These were big schools. We played pretty well. We won some, we didn't win some. We ended up, one of the most exciting things basketball-wise that happened is we ended up playing a game against the El Salvador national team that had just gotten back from the Pan Am Games, I think it was. And that was pretty exciting. They beat us pretty bad, but it was pretty exciting. And besides playing basketball, we took trips to orphanages. I believe it was the beginning of Orphan Helpers was starting at that time, but that wasn't our mission when we went there. But one of our parts of our mission was showing the Jesus films. And that was very cool to watch the Jesus film and how powerful that film is when you don't even understand the language. And we took that film, portable video equipment, stereo speakers out into the countryside, down two track roads, out into a big field, and there it seemed to me there were at least 1,000 people at these showings. We did a couple of them of the Jesus film in places out from San Salvador, the capital, which is where we were located, and the response of people there. Also during the basketball games at halftime, one of us would give our testimony, which I did, and again, was a struggle for me because I wasn't at that time. I'm still really not comfortable with talking about myself and personal things, but I didn't. And they were so well respected and responded to. And after the games, then they would come and people would come and talk to us. And some of it was to practice their English, I think. But a lot of times they just wanted to know. They wanted to know about us, and they wanted to know about our lives and our experiences, and they wanted to know about Jesus. And the same was true with the Jesus film out in the countryside. I was amazed at the number of people that came to Christ after watching that film. And it was just a tremendous experience and a real builder of my Christian character, at least the beginning blocks of being a real Christian. And I'll never forget that. The one thing that happened that blew me away, and I've had lots of experiences, so it's like, now I believe that there are lots of miracles that we don't even think are miracles, but if you stop and think about it, it's like, wow, those things happening coincidentally? Couldn't have. And the one that I remember from our trip, we were out in the country somewhere coming back to San Salvador to our home base, and our bus broke down. We had like one of those 15-passenger big old buses, and it broke down. And we had no mechanics, we had no tools, we had nothing. So here we are on the side of the road, and there's this cliff that drops off over this way. You know, and here we are, what are we going to do? We're still an hour, maybe, from San Salvador. So we're sitting there by the road, we're sitting there, and we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And this is 1993, no cell phones. So we're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? And how are we going to get this bus back and also, get home? And all of a sudden, over the hill comes this old beat-up truck, and this guy pulls over, and he talks to the driver, and he goes back to his truck, gets his tools, comes up, lifts the hood up, tinkers around in there. Next thing we know, the bus is going, and we're on our way home. And this was a guy that happened to know and recognize the driver. I mean, San Salvador has, I think, over 1 million people living in it. It's a big city. And but he knew our driver, could see that obviously that we needed help, and he stopped and took care of us and brought us home. And to me, that was the first thing that, to me, I really could look at and say, wow, that was a miracle. Absolutely, that was the work of God. Working with the Campus Crusade staff, the staff that Ad and I had there was amazing, and I'll never forget Elizabeth and Frank and Sandra and some of the other people that translated for us, took care of us, kept us out of trouble, kept us from eating things that we shouldn't, except me one time, and that was that's a whole different story some other time. I'm running out of time. We did a second trip with a basketball team. We took a drama team the second time, and mimes, high school kids mostly, and they worked out a routine here. It was all in mime, no spoken words, but a powerful message. And again, we presented these on the street. We presented these on at schools, traveling around the country. By the end of the second trip, I'd been to most of the major cities in San Salvador, all over the country, and up in the mountains, up by the volcanoes, and down by the ocean, and everywhere in between. And that trip also was just phenomenal. And the reaction of people to our basketball team's testimonies, to the testimonies of the kids that were doing drama, that's the word I'm looking for. And people's lives were changed by this. And I just never, ever imagined that we would have any kind of an impact like that with a short-term mission trip. I went a third time. There was an earthquake in 2001. I think it was in the spring, early summer, in El Salvador, and devastated San Salvador. And so we had sent some supplies, some building materials to build houses and shelters for people. And we were the Ben, Den, and Glenn team. Ben Warner, Denny Tippett, and myself went to El Salvador for about a week and traveled around and took a look at it. And again, talked to people, told them why we were there. And it was just an amazing, amazing deal. So anyway, in around 2000, I became a member of the missions board, and so I stayed involved in that manner. I didn't go on another mission trip like that or a short term. I was going to go to West Virginia a couple of years ago. That didn't work out. But anyway. So I got to move along here because I don't have a lot of time, and I got a lot more to talk about. So the next thing I want to bring up is tying my experiences and missions to Tom's sermon about the love of God and the shining light that we are to be as living examples of Jesus' life and teachings. And I picked out some scriptures. I'm not going to read you to them. Most of them are from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7. Where it talks about being the light of the world. You can't hide the light of the world under a bushel. Tom talked about that last week. So you need to shine your light before men that they may see your good deeds. And this is what I want to emphasize today for the rest of the time. And praise your God in heaven. Other things about Jesus' life that we need to follow. Turn the other cheek. Someone slaps you on the right cheek, give them your left. Someone takes your shirt, give them your coat. Someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Again, this is pretty familiar stuff for a lot of you. But this is important because this is the way Jesus lived his life, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to model our life after Jesus. Okay? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's Jesus. Okay? Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive, Father, forgive us our trespasses, and we must forgive those who trespass against us. That's really hard, but that's a part of living your life like Jesus, and that's some things that we need to remember. Do not judge, and the story of it, or the kind of the parable about don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye if you've got a log in your eye, okay? You've got to take a look at yourself, self-reflection, and not be judgmental. Matthew 25, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in and gave me clothes. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we ever do that? We never did that. And he says, if you have done that for the least of you, you've done it for me. Okay? Important to remember when we're talking about missions. Jesus was a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He talked often about you must be a servant. You must serve. Whoever is wants to be first must be last. Those are not just nice things to hear about. Those are ways you're supposed to live your life. And we're human. We can't necessarily do all of this all the time, but we need to keep it in mind. One of the things that I wrote down is, the Good Samaritan. Here's a guy, complete stranger. Not only was he a complete stranger, but he was from the wrong race. And this guy stops, picks him up after other people had walked by him and crossed over to the other side of the road. Okay, and we're all pretty familiar with that story too, and took care of him and left money for him and checked back on him. We can do those kind of things, folks. And those are missions. Okay? And so how do we apply this? James 2:24. I read the Daily Bread every day. Or try to. Some days I miss a day and have to read two in one day. Again, this isn't by accident. This is the Daily Bread for December 29th, 2019. That's today. Okay? And the verse is James 2, 14 through 26. And I have that marked here. What good is it, my brothers, if men claim to have faith but have no deeds? No deeds. Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. You foolish man. Am I going too far? No, not yet. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was it not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Faith in God, that he wouldn't take off Isaac, but also the deed of taking Isaac to the altar. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. The last part of this is, you see that a person is justified and righteous, I added that in on my own, by what he does and not by faith alone. Missions is what you do, okay? And I've got some examples here for you, and I'll try to read those quickly. traditional missions, what we usually think of when we hear missions, overseas missions. Bruce Becker has been involved in the eyeglasses with Israel and Russia. The Wisers have been missionaries. We have Diane Hostetler just got back from West Virginia, and she's been there several times with a mission at a place there that takes care of the mountain people that are poor and undereducated, and helping them. We have Duane and Shirley Troyer from our own church here, have been gone for over 20 years. First in Cameroon, translating all the 400 languages that are spoken or something like that in Cameroon, and living there and working with the people there and being shining lights there. They're now back in North Carolina, still working, still being shining lights, as Duane works on technology. And he was here a couple of months ago and told us some of the things that he's up to now, like fantastic stuff that they can use with the people in these poor areas so that everybody can have a Bible in their own language. And they're fairly close to being able to say that they've done that. And just remarkable work like that. That's kind of traditional, but there's a little offshoot on each one. Lonnie Leano also is in the Philippines doing translations, because there's a lot of languages there as well, and people that didn't have the gospel in their own language. Can you imagine if you had to learn about Jesus and his life and the gospel and his salvation in Japanese? Huh? Some of you may be able to pull that off. I can't. We have things that we have going on here, and you don't have to participate. Prayer warriors, and we have a lot of those here, are one way that you can be involved. It comes down to time, folks. We have to make time to do a lot of these things. We have to set aside time to spread God's love throughout our area, throughout the world. There are other short-term missions that aren't available at this time, but they're short-term. We can put some of those things together. If you have a heart for something like that, please speak to me or someone on the ministry board or the elders. Young Life is a place where you could plug in. Not just with a donation, which is nice, which is good, but get yourself involved, relationships. I was talking with Rusty before today, and the fact that as a society, as a world, our relationships are falling apart because of that little phone that you can text people on, that you can Instagram people on, that you can send things to people and not even identify who you are and say awful, horrible things. Okay? We don't have that sense of communicating one-on-one, calling somebody up, talking to them, seeing how they're doing. These are things that don't take a lot of time. We have things like the food pantry, disaster relief. We talked about it one time, putting together a disaster relief team here. That's a possibility. No Fence Too High, the prison ministry. Kyrex also, right? That's the prison ministry that for the bigger prison area. Ed's ministry, and I couldn't remember the name of it, I'm sorry. What's that? Compassionate Friend, thank you. I know it was two words and it started with a C. Thank you. We have a lot of people are doing things. We have the funeral dinners like yesterday. We have Journey to Bethlehem. We have Blessing of the Bikes. We need help with Children's Church, Vacation Bible School. We need people to get involved with other things like that that you can plug into. That's all I wrote down for right now. And then the other thing, and again, start thinking out of the box a little bit. Establish relationships with your neighbors. Send cards and letters to people. I know we do that as a church. We send birthday cards. I didn't get mine yet, but hopefully it'll be there soon. And letters. We don't write letters anymore. I read my mom's letters that she got, and my aunt talks about the letters that they used to write. You know, just little notes to let people know you're thinking about them. And visiting the sick at the hospital, Jerry Gage. Jerry here? Still? Jerry does some of that as an elder and helping out in that way. Going to the care facility. There's lots of opportunities there to make new friends and start new relationships. I wrote down random acts of kindness. Just help somebody that looks like they're in need. Okay? That's a mission. That's something you can do, and that's everyday things. I've heard stories of paying for groceries, helping strangers. I'll come back to one here that I want to finish up with. I'm almost done. Hosting fellowship meals. We just had that announced. We're going to start those things back up. Hosting Bible studies. Tom Blank Sr. was talking about, gee, it'd be nice to have another Sunday school class or two. You know, he's happy with his and doesn't want to give up any of his people, but I'm kidding there, Tom, right? But yeah, that's another opportunity. And reconciling with family, with friends, with neighbors, someone you have a problem, don't hold grudges, okay? Go to people, talk to them. Rusty and I were talking a little bit about stepping on toes in the ministry board and elders, you know, a little bit, you know, I'm not sure, you know, talk to people, communicate with them, and see if there's a problem. And if there is a problem, it's if you talk to them, the earlier you talk to them, the quicker it gets settled, I can tell you that for sure. Okay, to wrap things up, I think about, and I know there were some people that didn't like these because they seem kind of fake and phony, but the wristbands, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that was, to me, was a huge help. And still is a huge help. I don't have the wristband anymore, but when I'm in a situation, I think back to that, those four words, what would Jesus do? And it's helped me tremendously to do what I believe is, and I believe that God thinks was the right thing to do. So you need faith and deeds. That's discipleship, and that is mentioned in our mission statement. And that should be the goal of our missions. God has given us all gifts. Use them to promote God's message. He loves us, and he expects us to love him and to love his people. And that's not a certain religion or a certain group or a certain continent. That's his people, billions of people. Okay? So I encourage you to think outside the box and use everyday opportunities. And the example I want to give here is from today's. It blows me away, these things. If I'm having a problem or if I've got something that I'm struggling with a little bit or a lot, that day I'll get a Our Daily Bread story that goes like, wow, that's exactly. Okay, and I'll paraphrase this real quickly. A small church in Southern California recognized an opportunity to express God's love in a practical way. Okay, they went to a laundromat, and in the low-income area, they went to a laundromat, took everybody's laundry, and did their laundry for them. They cleaned, they folded clothes together, and sometimes they provided a hot meal and bags of groceries for the recipients. Okay? One volunteer discovered the greatest reward was in the actual contact with people and hearing their stories. Okay? I will go on with the rest of that. But, you know, every day, folks, we have the opportunity to be a missionary. Let's grab a hold of that. Okay? Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for helping me get through this. And I just praise you, Lord, and thank you for these people. Thank you for the people that were here. And again, I pray that this was a pleasing message to your ears and a useful message to the people that heard it. And Lord, just thank you. Be with these people now as they go home. go on with the rest of their day and the rest of their lives, the rest of the week. And praise God. In Jesus' name, amen.